since I've been here, and it's been a day since I've been here. You get around Brother Steve, and he keeps you busy. And that's, I like that. Wow. I tell folks, I'm glad, you know, like my wife's last name is Forkiller, at least I said, are you done? You know, I mean, I'm a half-breed and four and no more. Are you done? I just visited with her a little bit this morning, and she so wanted to be here, I promise you. And they're finishing up their 9 weeks in school, and she does a credit recovery, and so she's in, you know, she's got to get these seniors that's dragging her feet moving along. And so she said, I'll get, maybe next time we'll get to come up. And so, a lot has happened. A lot's happened here, just, you know, the remodeling, the flooding things. I know that's, you know, that happened to a lot of folks. And so I hate that it did, but I'm glad you're getting that took care of. And we've about 7 years ago, I mentioned our church I can't remember exactly what year. We helped start the church, and our family were there at Christmas school, and I was associate pastor there, and we just, things were going good, and things kept going good, and the Lord moved us into church planning, and that's where I got acquainted with Brother Steve in the church here as well. But we were gone about 18, 20 years, just Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, and so we were over in Arkansas, and of course the church, Brother Brewer moved on, and new pastor had came in, and Brother Mike Ridge, good preacher, good pastor, but his wife got really sick, and he called me, and we were kind of in what they call, we were in a survey, you know, when you go and you just go to three preachers asked us to go to Arkadelphia. And we had gone down to Lake Jackson, Missouri, Texas. We were in Wild Peach Baptist Church there, and we helped start school and Christian school and bus ministry, helped Brother Brewer there. And so he called and said, Brother Sanders, he said, my wife is very sick and I've got to resign. And then he said, I've got to go pretty quick, and I can't find anybody that could come that's available to just, you know, interim right now. And so, wow, you know, that's our home church. That's our family. And I said, no way. No, I didn't say that. I said, like you said, I said, well, we'll have to pray about it. You know, they're asking us to come and do some surveying here in Arkadelphia. And come to find out, it's just how the Lord works. I was sitting in a parking lot and getting ready for an Arkansas Bible conference deal that they were going to have, and we were going to maybe, you know, talk with them about the survey there in Arkansas for church planting there. And a guy came up, knocked on the window, and I think I was asleep. And he said, "Are you Brother Sanders?" I said, "I am." And he said, and he told me who he was, and he said that his son and three or four other college students were doing some survey in Arkadelphia. And I guess he had heard that we'd been asked to go there and all. And I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, they've been there for a while and doing some preaching there and all." And I said, "That's wonderful." I said, "I didn't know that, you know, and all." And so that was my, you know, red flag. It's not that large a town. I thought, well, that's great. So I shared with the other pastors. I said, you know, there's already some work going on there. And they said, well, we didn't know that. And also I said, yeah, that's fine. And then I get this phone call from Brother Ridge. He says that, hey, I've got to get out of here quick. My wife's, I've got to get her some help. It's funny how that people think that your marriage and your family, it comes before your church. And I just thought, it's getting quiet in here. You do know it does, right? Right? Amen. Okay. I'm just being facetious a little bit. But by the way, Colt, can't wait till Sunday. Man, that brisket, brother. I got to pull a string sometimes. I'm so proud of the family and looking forward to it, brother. Amen. And but where was I? All right, you was listening. And so, what'd you say we were? Say it again.
You're fixing to take the church.
You're about to take the church.
All right. Well, I was praying about it. And so, but Miss Edna wasn't praying about it. I'm being honest. And so, and that's what I was having to pray about. Lord, you're going to have to talk to her. I'm good. But you know, we went and we just wanted to go help out. And I mean, it was like, here's the keys. And he was, okay. And it's been 13 plus years now. I thought we were just going to help out. And can't y'all just run us off, you know, or something. But it's been a ride. And so after about 7 years, I realized, you know, they didn't have the Christian school anymore. They didn't have the bus ministry. And it was like a giant, you know how big it was, Brother Steve? And it's like everybody was sitting in this little group right here. And there's pews and pews and building and everything. So I said, it'll grow. It'll happen. I don't know what's going to take place. So we plugged along there and it did start growing. You know, folks were there and then folks were here. I got this crazy idea about ordaining preachers in the church, Brother Steve. And it was just something that God laid on our heart. And so we ordained 3 preachers. Well, you know, preachers have families.
Yeah.
And an ordination is what? It's ascending.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to go very far. but it is ascending. And I don't know, less than 6 months, they all were pastoring churches. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But we was back over here. I said, what'd I do? And you know, you know, when I was a young preacher, we had 9 preachers in our church. And I mean, you was like, don't you even talk about leaving.
Yeah.
You know, in those days, you know. But anyway, and so we just realized, hey, this is too much. And so I did, and of course, my wife's I share things with her, and what is it when you're, what's that? Sounding board. And so she's my sounding board, and sometimes I don't care what I'm hearing bouncing back, but I said, you know, I think I'm going to just maybe see if they wouldn't want to maybe sell the building and downsize, build a more practical building, because everything we did was 10,000 square feet. You know, let's put some tile down. Well, we got to have 10,000 square feet of it, or let's paint the wall. Well, there's 10,000 square feet of walls to paint. And he was just like, and we weren't that big a church. And Adair County is the poorest county in Oklahoma. It could be the poorest county in the United States. I'm not sure. But so, you know, we're scratching by and things, and I thought, well, I'm going to throw that out there. So you talk about a holy hush. Would y'all be interested in selling the building? And he's like, no one said they were. No one was, you know, I thought, well, I got that out there. I got that out there. And so a year later, are we still thinking about selling that building? I don't know. We're just praying about it. I didn't put it on the market. I didn't do anything. 7 years pass. You'd think you'd forget about it by then, right? And I get a phone call. And it was the grandson of the deacon that built the church. Literally built it. I mean, he was a builder in Tulsa, just... This was no problem for him, but he loved it, and he's retired. He was retired as he built. And so Brother Clarence Kester was his grandson, Brian. Said, Brother Jim, and I had done work for Brian in Tahlequah. He was in the funeral home business. And he said, I hear you have to sell. I said, well, Brother Brian, I said, no, we don't have to. But I said, 7 years ago, I mentioned it, you know, and he said, well, I want that building. And I was like, what? He said, I want that building. And I said, let's talk, you know. And sure enough, he wanted the building because we got with the men, got with the church. And said, then the church is like, what? You know, here we. And I said, look, you decide. I just made the comment about it 7 years ago. Yes, let's do it. And we'll relocate. We'll downsize and get more of a practical building that we need. And it was in church. I mean, we had 8 air conditioners. And the heat and air guy said they could go out at any time. That's $10,000 a lick. And then it was leaking. And I thought, man, we've got to either go borrow some money or we got to do something. And so everybody realized the timing. And so Brother Brian, he bought the building. And so, well, we're without a building. You know, where are we going to have church at? You know, we can come up there to your house, Brother Jim. And they could. They're in the community that I was raised in, Line Switch Community, about 10 miles out of town, back towards where you guys probably came through there, little rabbit trails. Is a community building. And they said, come and have church there, Brother Jim. You guys bring your church, come down. We've got, you know, the cafeteria. We've got restroom and the auditorium thing there. It's just perfect. So if you don't mind, so we paid rent, you know, each week. I think they made money off of us, I guarantee you, because I know people wasn't giving them that much, you know, we didn't have their little birthdays and things, stuff, you know, but we were taking care of them. They liked that. So, and we cleaned up the building, and we had Bible school, we had camp, we had baptisms. I found out the church isn't the building. It takes you forever to learn some stuff. And so in the meantime, I'm trying to find 2 to 3 acres, Brother Steve, to build on. 2 to 3 acres to build on. And I'd find this place and that place. And the Lord, it's just like, you know, I didn't, you know, Lord, it just would not give me no green light on any of it. And I'd go to another piece of property or keep looking and got all these realtor people calling me now, you know, and wanting to show the property. They you know, they probably found out they sold a building. They got some money, you know. And I thought, it's just, I don't know what place it's going to be, because this isn't, none of these places were working out. And then I get a call from the same guy again, Brother Brian Kester. He goes, Brother Jim, keep this under your hat. Well, that's what he said about wanting to buy the building, because he was afraid he was going to get fired from the place he was at. Which he did. But, I mean, he went from corporate to, what would you call it, his own personal business. Yeah, and it was a better deal. And I didn't tell any either. And so he says, I know the Zion Baptist Church down there. You know where it's? I said, yeah. He said, it's Liberty Baptist. Yeah. He said, they're merging with New Life. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, and he said, that building's going to be empty. And it could be up for sale. He said, but keep that under your hat. I said, well, I will. And it wasn't 2 weeks later. They called. New Life called. Said, hey, Liberty's merging with us. And we're going to sell the building. Wanted to know if you were interested in it. And I thought, sure, we're interested in it. I had no concept. It wasn't even on the map about buying a building. I thought, Brother Cody, it's just, we got to build. Land, we got to build. And that's just how I am. I just can't, I get one track mind. You know, God could do something else, you know. And so I went down and it was built in 1923, church. 1923. How many storms have we had since 1923? Tornadoes and things. And it's just a sturdy, beautiful, you got to come and see it. It's just like, it's in a little valley there, nothing but cattle and hay fields around it and stuff. I don't want to go anywhere else. I said, this is so peaceful. And, you know, and now, no, it's not as modern as it is other places, but it's got the fellowship hall, and it's not under one building. I found out that's kind of cool too. You know, you walk to another building, the fellowship hall, then you walk down to a gym, and then there's like another acre or so past it. And so I told the church what was going on. They couldn't believe it. They said, and they want us to, I said, well, I got to have the church come by and at least look it over. When can we do it? He goes, just have church here. And so they weren't totally moved out. They moved out later, but we had church there. It was on a Wednesday, and everybody, you know, just kind of, I said, you know, I mean, we preached. I remember Steve, we're going to preach. I don't care what we're doing. We're going to preach. And then I said, but after preaching, look around and see what you think. And so they said, have church here Sunday. We had church Sunday, and we had a business meeting. And guess what was on the agenda? We bought that crazy building. Amen. I mean, just jumped out there and took. And so the Lord blessed. It's just right for us. We've grown. I can tell you right now, the church that moved there, you have to look for them. You have to look for them. We've got folks visiting. We've got folks coming in. It's just a blessing. And so we're up there. We're up there on the property about 5 miles as a crow flies, maybe not that much, north of the church. We're still sitting on our property in our double wide. Let me back up. You know, I probably not even want to preach, Steve.
You just said he always preached.
We sold the building, and we had 2 acres beside us, and we had 2 acres that the house was on, the parsonage was on, and which was Brother Ridges, the pastor there. He bought the property from the church and all. And when I got there, I thought, like, so, Brother, you sold the property to Brother John, which is on the other side, and then you sold the 2 acres now to Brother Ridge, you know. And I said, we're not going to have a sidewalk to walk on if we keep selling property. And so we bought it back. I said, church, buy this back. We bought the parsonage and the house, and we bought it back. And I said, you got to have this, you know, especially when Miss Edna and I need a roof over our head, amen. And so there we were. The church is down there at Zion, and we're up here. And so they said, well, what are we going to do for preacher? What about just building next door on those 2 acres? And that's between the funeral home now and our parsonage, and there's 2 acres, which was plenty. So I had a pad put in. The men come out and just put the pad in, and we're getting ready. We didn't pour the concrete, but we were getting ready to. But again, the Lord was just not, you know, he just wasn't letting me do that. And I thought, well, why can't we do that? What's the holdup? And so I went out to mow grass, Brother Steve, out in the backyard, and I was getting ready to get on the mower. And in fact, I think I was sitting on the mower, and I looked down there, and there was like 20 people standing out mourning. And I thought, this is how rude. I got to get out of here. I'm on a mower, and they're down there brokenhearted. And so I just ran back in the house. And I told Miss Edna, I said, I can't do this. She said, what? I said, I can't come out and praise the Lord and look down there and they're just like brokenhearted, you know, having a funeral. And she goes, well, that's how it's going to be, because we're going to be the in-between there. And I said, no, it's not going how it's going to be. Now I know why God wouldn't let me pour that concrete, but amen. And I said, we got to get out of here. This isn't going to work. And so, you know, the call from Brian. Hey, what are you going to do with that? When are you going to build? I said, we're not. I want that. You can have it. But this time, you ain't getting a deal. That's what I was thinking. And that was of the Lord. Because he got a deal on the building. And I was getting a little flack from some of the folks in the church about, you know, he sold that too cheap, you know. And I said, you know, it's like selling a white elephant, you know. And so we just thank God we sold it and we can do something, you know. I didn't say it that loud, but that's what I meant. And so Brian says, I want that property, the 2 acres. And he said, my partner, and I didn't know he had a partner. And it's not like you think. He's got a wonderful wife and godly family. But That's a thing now, you know. And so he said, my partner wants the land in the house that you're on. And I thought, wow, this is... And then I'm thinking, now, I'm learning, you know. I'm learning, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay. Now, I know what some of the folks said we could have got out of that building. It was like 100,000 more we could have easily got. And guess what that property we're going to sell to them is going to cost them? $100,000. Amen. And that's pennies compared to down here selling it by the foot. I know. But remember, we're in Ader County, the poorest county in Oklahoma, and so forth. And so I just he said, what do you want for it? I said, well, we want 50 for that too there, and then we want 50 for this, and we're keeping the house. And he got quiet. He said, I'll have to talk to him about that. I said, well, talk to him about that. And so, a day later, we want to do it. We want to do it. $100,000 for the 4 acres, and you keep the house. Exactly. And so I go to the church, and they're just like, and I said, you know, I know somebody said we sold that building too cheap. And I said, you know, God's taking care of me. He's making up the difference here. So I just believe this is of the Lord, and it's just God's working it out for us. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. And so we looked up a guy to move the double wide, which it's one of these modular homes, but I forget the name of it now. And so I go down and I talk to the house moving guys. I talked to three of them. One of them was at $8,500. The other one was at $12,000, and the other one was at $16,000. Guess who I went for? And so I told the church, I said, if we had to rebuild this house, it's 2,600 square foot, if we had to rebuild it, can you imagine, you know, what that would cost for as far as a parsonage and things? Because we fill it up when our kids come and our grandkids come. I mean, it's just Miss Ed down there and the cat, Sandy. But when the kids come, I mean, we fill it up and we love it. And so I was like, we can't have anything less. Amen, Miss Dory? And so that all worked out. That all worked out. We finally got the house. It took forever. The guy said, well, I'm doing it for $8,500 and I want my money now. I thought, they're not going to like that. Just like Jesus, I heard, no. I thought, they're not going to like that. He said, well, I've been burned so many times. I said, well, why would you burn us? He goes, well, I want my $8,500, and then I'll do it. And so I get him his $8,500. It's before Christmas. Guess what? And we're supposed to move before Christmas. He goes on some vacation with that $8,500. I guarantee he did. I can't prove it, but I guarantee he did. And so it's in February before we get the house moved, because it starts raining, and you know, if we get stuck, you're paying to get us unstuck and all this. And so we finally got the property moved, or the house moved, and we still got to get utilities in. This is just happening. We got to get utilities. Got to do some trenching and things and all. But you got to come up. You got to come up, see us in Stillwell. Come through there. Just find another reason. Just come through there. Amen. You can go to Tulsa. Come through and see us. You can go to be going to Missouri. You can go through there and see. Just come and see us, because it is a neatest little 1923 Methodist church building that's been remodeled and added to, and the old building's still there and all. And I told him, I said it's just an honor to keep the heritage. Some Boys Club was going to buy it, or had a part in it, wanted to buy it. And they said, we want a church to stay in it. And so the Lord wants us in it. And we've already had folks saved and baptized. And we're just God's really blessing. And Miss Edna's down there right now. We had to make a little apartment in the gym, so because we had to take everything out of the house to move it. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've never done that before. And it's two houses. They're two pieces they move. And so And so we've got it. So since it's out, she said, well, I'd like to take up that old carpet, which it needed taken up. You know how it is, Miss Dory. And that old popcorn, that just got, you know. And so Ben and everybody's been working since. And I said, I'm thinking I'll stay one more week, Brother Steve. Maybe they'll be done. But that's kind of where we're at and what's going on. I tell you, I made this statement to my wife, and I'll make it to the church here. I'm having the most fun in my Christian life now than I had in a long time. And that's ministry-wise, life, all the ups and downs in life that come. But I get up every day thanking God, especially being there on the campus of the church now. I just love that. And then the church services. It's just country folks just loving to death. Just they have their issues and difficulties, but I love preaching to them, and right now they're just sitting on the edge of the seat, just soaking it in and all. And so I'm just loving church right now as much as I've ever done so. And you know what? We've got a parsonage. I mean, I was going to tell you about that. It's 2x6 walls. It's not particle board. It's plywood. It is nice. It's a very well built. And I didn't realize that until I started looking into it. And the guy that was going to move it, he said, that's why he said, Brother Cole. He said, I forget the name of the brand of it. Started with an S. Anyway, he said, you didn't tell me it was that kind of house. I said, you didn't ask. And I didn't know. He said, I should have charged you more, And I said, well, you done got my $8,500, and I ain't giving you no more. And so he went off on a vacation, But it's that we've got that house. We've got the sanctuary, the church part. We've got the fellowship hall, the classrooms. All of that, and it's just a wonderful playground, and then acres of cattle and fields around us, just a country setting. I tell you, you got to come and see it, and it's all paid for. Amen. Amen. I love to hear that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's paid for, and we still got a few dollars in the bank, and I tell you, it just makes the groundhog happy. Amen. And soft dirt. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, how I know he lives. How many of you know that the Lord lives tonight? Amen. Well, how do you know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. Amen. You ever heard that? Well, praise the Lord. We celebrated our month of March. Typically, the Resurrection Sunday is in April, and so here we are in March, the last part of March, and I got this notion that from the Lord, let's just preach on the resurrection, Lord, all month, and I tell you something, teach on it too. I can do that too. I had the best time doing so. So this is a little taste of it tonight that I want to share with you, and one of my favorite hymns. Not just a resurrection hymn, but I know a lot of people consider it that. But I sing this hymn throughout the year because I don't appreciate the risen Savior on Resurrection Sunday. Amen. It's like I appreciate Him every day, and so this song is a everyday hymn. Some call it He Lives. I didn't know some call it I Serve a Risen Savior. Some named it that. But we're going to look at that phrase here in just a second. And I promise you, this isn't going to take long. But I think it's really, really cool. I want to share just a little story behind the song itself. Written by composer Alfred Ackley. Do you have it in your songbook there? You got it. Go ahead and turn there. If it's not Alfred Ackley, I'm in trouble. I believe it is. He said, "Man, Brother Jim, do your homework." But you see it there, Brother Cole. And when I get through preaching, can we sing this? And it's just, we really need to, amen, because it's just, Alfred Ackley, and he wrote this song in 1933. Miss Edna was just a child at that time, and I just, time flies. And the hymn continues to be one of the most popular hymns. And I'll tell her I said that, but Easter is a wonderful time for this hymn, but to me, it's throughout the year. And all the people said, Alfred Ackley was born in 1887 in Pennsylvania, and he had a musical father, and he tutored him as a child until he entered music studies in New York. And then he went on to the Royal Academy in London, where he showed great promise in piano and cello. And then he showed great promise as a composer in music. Kind of reminds me of Brother Steve. Amen, bro. I seen them guitars over there in the corner. Amen. But Brother Ackley pastored several churches, and he ended up attending Westminster Theological Seminary in Maryland, and he was ordained as a Presbyterian minister, pastored some churches, did some evangelist work with Billy Sunday, and then was awarded an honorary doctorate just up the road from Stillwell, Siloam Springs, 30 miles at the most, at John Brown University. And then 1933, Brother Ackley, he pastored in, help me out here. I'm not from California. Escondido?
Yeah, Escondido.
Escondido. Has anybody been there? Anybody from there, Escondido? You'd be surprised. But this was where he was ministering, pastoring. And I believe it was one of their evangelistic services that they were having, and he met a Jewish student there, and found out that he was Jewish and things, and he just kind of got a burden for him to try to point him to Christ. Didn't know if he was saved or not until the young man said this: "Why should I worship a dead Jew? Wouldn't you like to receive the Lord as your Savior?" You know, trying to witness. Why should I worship a dead Jew? And I just, like, when I read that and that story, and I thought, what? And I'm sure Brother Ackley thought the same thing. And so he would witness to him. He was trying to be a faithful witness to him. And that was his answer to the gospel. Why should I worship a dead Jew? And so one Sunday morning, one Easter Sunday morning, Brother Ackley was getting ready to preach an Easter Sunday message. And he turned the radio on, you just did that back then. And I think it's still a good thing to do. And so he turned the radio on that morning, and he was listening to some, gospel music. And then a preacher came on there from New York. And he was kind of a liberal preacher. And this was his opening. It's Easter, folks. And you know, it really doesn't make any difference to me if Christ be risen or not. As far as I'm concerned, his body could be as dust in some Palestinian tomb. The main thing is his truth goes marching on. And I heard that, and I read that, and my face is red right now, but I was just like, what? And he did the same thing. Brother Ackley did the same thing. He just got through hearing that on the radio, and then he couldn't help but think about his Jewish friends saying, why should I worship a dead Jew? And he just took that radio and threw it across the living room.
Amen.
Amen. And went to church and preached a fiery resurrection sermon. And all the people said, well, that night after services and all, he was home. He got right back to where he was. And his wife said, Alfred, it's time for you to do what you do best. She said, you need to write a song. And so he got his Bible out, And he opened to the Gospel of Mark, the account of the Lord's resurrection there, and started reading, and soon the words began to pour out. And a few minutes later, music to the words began to pour out. And then came the answer to his Jewish friend, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" And Ackley began to sing the words, "Because he lives." Because he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I love that. I love that. And I'm not sure if the Jewish student received the Lord. I pray that he did. That was years ago, of course. But he ignited a fire in our brother so much to the point of giving us this wonderful, not just resurrection message, but a resurrection message in a song that we all love so well. And all the people said, amen. And so I want to just share just a little bit out of Ephesians 3:17 there in your Bibles. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Father, bless our thoughts. Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here just in fellowship and just this special time for Colt and family and the church. And so, Lord, you're so good to us. Bless our folks at home and Lord, all the work that's going on here in the remodeling. Thank you for getting that took care of. And thank you, Brother Steve. Lord, just love him, his family, and just ask your blessings on our time together tonight and the next few days, Lord, especially Sunday, Lord, and all the preparations for a special day. Lord, just thank you for that now. Ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. How I know he lives, because he lives within my heart. And I picked up on this thought in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in where? In your hearts by faith. Our text is part of the apostles' prayer, isn't it, to the church and to the believers there of Ephesus. And there's different places you can go to it, but I began there in verse 14, him praying, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches and his glory to strengthen with might by the Spirit in the inner man, and so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love." And I thought that's where God wants to be. That's where Jesus wants to work in our hearts. Amen. Yeah. And so Paul's praying that the child of God, the church, would allow Jesus. Church, listen now. We're not going to be long, but this is so important. He's praying that the church and the individual believers would allow Jesus to settle down and feel right at home. Where? In the heart. In the heart. And Paul's praying here that the church and that the child of God would give Jesus liberty to permanently, church. Eternal salvation is permanent, amen. And that we would give him liberty to permanently move in and live, amen, in the center of our life and our world, our hearts. And all the people said, not at the door, but at the center of our lives, the heart, that Christ may dwell, where? In your hearts, by faith. And you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And that was the apostles' prayer for the church back then, and it's apostles' prayer for the church today, amen, especially this resurrection season that we're in. And all the people said, we serve a risen Savior. Jesus hungers, church, to desire to more than just visit every now and then.
Amen.
When Paul prays, he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Amen. Not just come and hang out and visit. No, dwell there, praying that Jesus takes up permanent residence, settling down, feeling completely at home. And all the people said, that's how you know he lives. Amen. When you know he's at home in your heart. Amen. Comfortable, he feels at home. This is what the apostle was praying. This is what he was writing of there in Ephesians 21 and 22, that all the building, amen, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's what's happening at the local church, amen. In whom Christ, ye are also built together for an habitation, that's the church of God through the Spirit. And that's the fellowship, amen. And that's why I'm enjoying church so much in these days. I know we've got a lot going on, and there's a lot of negative things going on. But I tell you, there's a lot of good, positive things going on for us today. And then 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them. Walk in them, and listen, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. And then, listen, he goes on. Jesus is hungering to permanently dwell, reside in our hearts by faith. Not hanging out from time to time, like a neighbor intimidated to come in, you know, stand at the door, but feels the welcome to live and feel at home in our hearts, individually and as well as the church. All by faith, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's how we know he lives today. We started our Christian life by faith, and we're going to continue our Christian life by faith. For grace, what? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is what? The gift of God, amen. And so as we serve the risen Savior that dwells within us, amen, it's by faith we know his presence. It's by faith we know his power. It's by faith we know his providings, and all the people said. And it's by faith we know his protection. And God is so good to us and so kind and so much a loving Father. Where does this faith come from? Well, so then faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? And all the people said, it's all there. Jesus can't be fully at home, church, until he is allowed to dwell in our hearts by faith. He's got to be allowed to dwell and to feel at home in our hearts. You say, but Brother Jim, I have reservations of getting close to me that I don't know very well, allowing them, you know, to come in and take up residence in my heart. I have some reservations in that. And then sure, we would have some reservations trusting someone to just settle down in our world without a background check. But church, I would hope and pray that you and I would know Jesus well enough, not only to allow him to enter our lives and be welcome, amen, with open arms, but surely the Word of God is enough background check to trust the Son of God, amen, to dwell in our hearts by faith. And all the people said, and not only dwell now, but expect him to exercise his lordship over every aspect of our lives. And you ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. The Apostle Paul isn't questioning our salvation. He's not questioning one's faith in Christ and one's life in the believer, but it's rather, does Jesus feel at home in the believer? Does Jesus feel at home? It's whether Jesus is feeling the love of the child of God. He's not questioning your salvation. Does he have full access to every room and closet in your life? Amen? so that we don't grieve him with our thoughts, so that we don't grieve him with our motives and our deeds. There's no room for broken fellowship. Amen? And so making our hearts feel a place at home where Christ loves to be, making our hearts a place where Christ loves, yes, to hang out, to be there, like he did with the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, amen, there in Bethany. I mean, he felt at home with them. He just felt welcome there. So can Jesus go to our library and take a book off the shelf, amen? Can Jesus get involved in the things that we're doing around the house and enjoy our conversations? Can he enjoy our TV programs? Can he enjoy the company that we have? Is this what it's like to know that Jesus lives within us? Hey, this is what it looks like when Christ dwells in our hearts, and all the people said. A constant dependence, church. A constant surrender. A constant recognition of his presence, his person at home in our hearts. Trusting Jesus to make our hearts his home. Trusting the Holy Spirit to make more room. Listen, more room and more room in the individual for the indwelling Christ. Amen? Transforming us into more of his image. What's the scripture say? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of what? His Son, that he might be the first in among many brethren. Not just present in our hearts, but prominent. Amen? Amen? Not just prominent, but preeminent. And all the people said, amen. This is how we know he lives. That ye being rooted. You said, Brother Jim, you're a little bit further. I know it's taking me a little bit longer, but this is good. Listen. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Amen? Paul prays that the results of Christ's presence being at home in our hearts, amen, through faith, would result in being rooted and grounded like a skyscraper in the deepest foundations. Amen? The mighty white oak, Brother Steve. You got any white oak on your property over there? They feed your deer, brother. They feed your deer. Don't cut them down. The mighty white oak gets its roots deep down into the soil to reach all the nutrients, to have nourishment and stability, to stand tall and beautiful in the forest. Amen? And we too, church, we have a spiritual roots. We have spiritual roots going deep down into the love of God, that we be a people, amen, individually, collectively established in the love of God, that we must not say just love, but that we say it's not just any love, it's God's love. It's the love of God, not man's love, not the world's love, but God's love, where we can be rooted deep into. And all the people said, rooted deep into the love of God. Now listen, that sent the Son of God to an old rugged cross to be our sacrifice, our payment for our sin debt. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? It's from this love the church develops a deeper love for God. The lawyer asked Jesus to tempt him, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus didn't miss a beat. He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy mind. Amen? All thy soul, with all thy mind. That's a deep-rooted love for God that we get from the love that sent Jesus to the cross for our sin debt. And all the people said, Jesus went on to teach the second great commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For the love of God that sent his Son to suffer and to die for our salvation comes as a deep-rooted love for one another. And all the people said, do you love one another? This is my commandment. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, not a request. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you, And that's a deep-rooted love, church, for one another, all because he first loved us. You know, traveling across the country, there are many beautiful sights, but none are so beautiful as the white steeples that stand out in the countryside. Maybe a big city, maybe it's just a beautiful, we've got a beautiful steeple there. You got to come and see there at the church. It just stands out. And that's the first thing you see as you coming into the little valley there. The white steeple, the local church, standing alone, standing tall, Brother Steve, grounded in the Word of God. When a person sees the white steeple of the church standing tall at a distance, they should feel the love of God in that area. They should feel the love of love for God, amen? And they should feel a love for others. There, that's what that represents, amen, within that congregation, within those people that should be testifying here of a people that Christ dwells in their hearts and that is rooted deep down. I read this story, and I know you've heard it before, of a young lad walking in the streets of Chicago years ago in the late 1800s. And someone said, Say young man, where are you going so fast walking there? And he said, I'm going to church. And he was getting it across, heading up to. He said, you've already passed several churches. You've already passed several places. Why don't you go to them? He said, I'm going to Moody's church. He goes, well, why are you going there? You've already passed several. He said, because he knows how to love a guy. He knows how to love a guy. And that's how the church is. To be rooted deep in the love of God that knows how to love a guy. Amen? That knows how to love one another. Brother Steve, you're good at that, brother. You know how to love a guy. And that's why you got folks here and not only rooted in love, but grounded in love. Paul spoke of the agriculture term being rooted. Now he speaks of the architectural. Brother Steve, we're being built. Amen. We're architects today. And being grounded, you know, I read of a pastor, and I'm about done. Listen, I read of a pastor in a church in a program building, and it was a large building, and things weren't just getting out of the ground very fast, and it was taking too much time and too much money and too much soil testing and too much, you know, laying out and footings and foundations. And so the preacher went to the architect complaining. He said, you know, it's taking too much time and money just to get it out of the ground. And the architect said to the pastor, we're working on the most important part of this tall, beautiful building, preacher, the foundation. And then he said this, something that the preacher never forgot, and I won't either. He said, Pastor, if you don't go deep, you can't go high. And all the people said, Amen. And he said, I've never forgot that, and I haven't either. But if we're not rooted and if we're not grounded in the love of God, don't expect the ground, you know, to stand ground when the storms of life come, amen, and blow you over. Remember what Jesus said, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house, what? Upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not. Amen? For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall he liken unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and you know it fell. And great was the fall of it, the Bible says. The storms of life reveal the depths of the foundation. Amen? The trials of life reveal the depths of the roots in its strength. The apostle prayed that the believers, you and I in the church of Ephesus and the church that we're in, our churches, would have a deeper relationship, a deeper fellowship with Christ, so rooted and so grounded that we all can stand the storms of life, and that we all can sustain the trials of life and still be standing tall in the love of God and the love for God and the love for one another. And all the people said, Amen. What page is that song on? Would you please stand? And